had a tough week, why don't you stand up? If you've had an easy week, just sit down and relax. If you've had a tough week, stand up. We are in the last week of 21 days of fasting and prayer, our annual Daniel fast. And that may explain some of the things that you're going through, because we are taking an aggressive position with God, and we are aligning ourselves with God's best and His purposes, and that means we've stepped into the battle. Some of you feel like you just got punched out this week. How many had that feeling? Maybe emotionally, physically, like you're under attack and you're just saying, you know, like, why? And the reason is you're in the boxing ring. You stepped into the ring and you may have forgotten it. Now, if you're walking down the street and someone just, bam, slugs you, that's not right. But if you're in the boxing ring and someone hits you, that's what you would expect, right? In fact, if you were in the boxing ring and someone hit you and you ran, no one would expect you to be doing what you're doing. Now, I don't know. I'm not a boxer. I don't know if any of you have trained to be boxers. Anybody here trained to be a boxer? We are one physically challenged group of people. There is one. All right. I missed it. Anya. No, it's not. When you joined the kingdom of God, when you signed up to be in God's family, when you heard good news that it was all lovey-dovey, someone may have left out some of the details, that you were joining with a captain of an army, and he was going to take you into battle. And in fact, your whole life would become a place where you could do battle and have victories. And I don't know if anybody ever told you that was part of the good news. Often that's in the fine print. And a lot of people don't read the fine print. And so if you've been sort of shocked or shell-shocked, I have been this week, there have been enough things that happened one after another, after another, after another, that I started saying to myself, what's going on? And I wasn't feeling like I was a victim, but I was feeling like things were tough. Have you been feeling that? Things are tough, and tough things are happening. And you know what? We're fasting. We're praying as a congregation. Many of you have been participating in this. And we have been fasting between Purim and Passover. It's an offensive fast, not defensive. Defensive is when you are trying to protect yourself. Offensive is when you go close, you go after something. This is guerrilla warfare that we're doing. We're the sons and the daughters of the Maccabees. You need to know what you've signed on for. You might want to change teams. Or you might want to say, if I got to fight like this, I better get strong. I better get tough. And I want you to remember something. We're fasting between Purim and Passover, and we're saying to the adversary of the Jewish people, to the enemy of the Jewish people, we're saying something. We're saying, you gave your best shot trying to destroy our people, and it didn't work. And God, who knows how to deliver, gave victories to our people, and we're going to get victories for our people, for ourselves, for our families, for our synagogue, for our loved ones, for our neighbors. We are going to get victories, and we're going to do battle. Do you remember what Daniel did? He fasted and he prayed for 21 days. As soon as he began, an angel from heaven was dispatched to bring victory. But there was resistance. And there was a battle that needed to be fought in the heavens. And Daniel had to support that battle through fasting and prayer. When you join God's kingdom, you came into a new covenant relationship with God where the things of heaven and the things of earth get joined together and you get to do your part. And part of your job is to fight and win. Fight and win. We are pushing into the enemy's territory and it stirs things up. So I know from what I've heard from many of you and what I've been going through myself, things are stirred up. But if you don't understand they're stirred up because you're provoking something, then you don't understand what's happening. Now listen, when you're going to fight, you know what? You have to fight to win. Don't ever enter into a battle you can't win unless you're prepared to die. If you're going to fight, you want to win. Once we were doing an outreach in Moscow, we had bomb threats. We later found out that ultra-right-wing terrorists had planned to blow up the Olympic Stadium that we were using. We didn't know about that for months. But it was really a serious time. But we had infighting as well. We had all sorts of problems going on. And afterwards, when we sort of came to our senses, we were talking and someone said, you know, the devil came to kick our teeth in. And someone said to us, so what happened? We said, well, we're still here. You know, there are times when you get bashed, you get pushed around, you get knocked around, you get assailed, you get assaulted. And what do? You give it back. Don't just take it. You sit down for a minute. Sit down. You know how the enemy works. If he can't take your life, he'll try to break your spirit. He'll try to press you down to the point that you just give up. And I don't want you to do that. We're fasting during this time. We're taking our stand with the Lord of hosts. He's the captain of an army. And our weapons are spiritual, and they include prayer and fasting. And they require courage. So I want you just to close your eyes for just a second, and you can be, if you remember, the Wizard of Oz. Who was it? The lion? Who said, courage. Say to yourself, courage. Just repeat it to yourself, courage. I want courage. I need courage. This situation requires courage. You may be facing some difficult situations. Don't lose heart. Those you love, those you care about the most may be in big trouble. They may even be creating trouble for themselves. They may be creating trouble for you. Don't give up. We are not victims in this life. Life is a battle, and we are tough. We're courageous. And sometimes we're like boxers in the ring, and sometimes, you know what? We are praying for the round to be over. Have you ever watched a boxing match, and you see one guy just pummeling the other? And if it's awful. It's a terrible sport. It's almost barbaric. The only thing I think that is redemptive about it is that it's like life in a certain sense. And sometimes we are just taking a licking. Do you remember that? The Timex? It keeps on ticking. And sometimes all we can do is thank God when the bell rings. And we can go back to our corner and catch our breath, summon courage again, and decide to get back in. But you know, whenever you take a licking, you got to say to yourself one more thing. You got to say, what I'm doing is not working. I've got to fight differently. I've had this experience. Have you ever been in a conflict that you didn't realize was a spiritual conflict? And you just thought it was a human conflict? How many of you have ever been at odds with people so at odds that it sapped all of your strength, all of your motivation, all of your power, and you thought it was just between two people? And then the light bulb, you know, went on, and you remembered, oh, wait, it's not a battle against flesh and blood. There is a spiritual battle going on. And you changed your tactics based on spiritual understanding, and you started getting victory. How many of you have ever had that experience? Wow, how many have not? Nobody wants to raise their hand. I was watching how many raise their hands. It was less than half. And have had this kind of experience of winning. And I said, how many of you have not had it? And only a handful raised their hands. And so I want to tell you something. If you're going to fight an adversary who is bigger than you, you have to have a way of bringing him down. Why did little David, facing Goliath, not go hand to hand? Do you know why? I mean, Goliath's hands were bigger than David's head. He was a giant. Some of you don't think giants even exist. I was talking to a guy who was hunting in Siberia. And you want to hear the story? It's an amazing story. And he was hunting in Siberia, you know, very cold, isolated area. He and his father's good friend and their Russian Hummer-type vehicle, sort of a wide Jeep, got stuck in a bog of mud. And there was nothing they could do to get out. And they just started walking to a village in order to find a farmer who they hoped would have a tractor that could pull them out. But they got to this village, and they couldn't find a tractor, but someone said, you just need Igor. I forget what the guy's actual name was, but it's something like Igor. And he'll help you. So they go over to this other house, and they go to the door, and this little petite woman answers the door, and it's Igor's wife. And she calls for her husband. And my friend, who was, he's the guy that is doing training for me, he was, you know, like working at a world-class level now, training athletes. Not me, I'm a schlump. But he worked with real athletes. And he's seen, like, incredibly strong guys. And he said to me, what came out of that house? I will never forget. And he pointed to a weightlifting machine that's approximately this wide. What's that called, that wide one? I forget what it's called. Something machine. It was like this wide. You see, I'm not an official. I do these things when they tell me to do them. And he said this guy with shoulders this big walked out of the house, and he was approximately 7'4". And he said when he made a fist, it was the size of a volleyball. And the guy had never, worked out at a gym. He just lived outdoors. And he told incredible stories to me about this guy. He said that this guy took an iron bar and just, you know, like you see in movies that are fake. And he took some nails and twisted them just for fun. I remember going to Israel, and some of the guys in the army, they like to take these hard bottle caps and just squeeze them, you know. And I tried to do it when I was a kid, and it just cut me. And they'd laugh because they could do it and I couldn't. But this guy, to be fun, would twist nails. And I said, are you telling me the truth? He said, I will never forget this man. He was solid muscle. And he would pick up a piano like this and just lift it for fun. So this guy goes with them to this bog, this muddy bog where the Jeep is, you know, just half submerged. And he steps into the mud and grabs the front end and just goes and lifts it out. And then he goes around the back and lifts it up and moves it to the other side, and they're free. They can drive their vehicle. So I said to this Russian guy, "You really think there are giants?" He said, "I seen one. I don't think there are many." And this guy was not like those that have the tumor on the gland. Which gland? Pituitary gland. You know, that causes them to have, what is it called? Giantism or something that causes unbridled growth that's very weak. It's not strong. This guy was just a giant. He said when he was eating, his biceps hung down to like the middle of his forearm. They were so large. But he wasn't a monster. He was just really, really strong. But genetically, he was unusual. Now, if you're going to fight somebody like that, I'm not saying you want to pick a fight with someone like that, but little David of Israel found himself facing off with a giant like that. And he understood, you don't fight him up close. Right? So what did David do? He used his other skills to win the battle. And he took that stone, he flung that rock. Down comes Goliath. I'm telling you this because sometimes you don't realize it, but you got into the ring with a giant. And you're going hand to hand, and you're getting the tar kicked out of you. And God's plan is not that you would die this way. It's not that God wants you to allow life to beat you up so that you can get to heaven more quickly. The Lord wants you to learn how to win other ways. He wants you to learn how to have victories in other ways. And it requires that we shake off the pain that would dull us and cause us to lose heart. And we have to rise up and be strong. And we have to summon courage. And if you don't know where to get courage, you have to discover the source of courage and the sources of courage that God makes available to you. Sometimes God will give a person courage by connecting them with someone else who is more courageous and will do something you wouldn't do. Have you ever been with someone who has more courage than you do? Yeah. And they will pull you into a situation they're not afraid to go into. And they will deal with situations differently than you will. Sometimes you get courage because you're angry. And you just don't care anymore what happens next. That's a good use of anger. Anger is not meant to destroy. It's meant to empower you so that fear doesn't slow you down. We are courageous. We need to be courageous. And sometimes when you've had the wind knocked out of you and you're lying on the ground and you're saying to yourself, what am I going to do next? You just have to make a decision to get back up and go at it again. But don't get hit in the same spot. Don't get hit the same way. And we desire greater victories, don't you? I'm glad that five people do. I think more of you are saying amen under your breath because you're afraid if you say it out loud, it might provoke something. And things might get tougher. Yeah, I'm not saying amen out loud. Devil might hear me. I'll only think it. That way no one will hear. Listen, life requires courage, and we need more of it. And so we need to be around people who have more courage than we do. You want to know how to become more fearful? Hang around with people who are fearful. You want to reinforce your sense of insecurity? Hang around with people who provoke it all the time and reinforce you when you give into it. If you want to grow up and get stronger, you got to be with people who don't like weakness. Not because they don't like people when they're weak, but they don't want to see you vulnerable and don't want to see you victimized, because you're more than that. You're called to be stronger than that. You got to know what you're made of. You have to know what spirit God has put into you. The Holy Spirit is not intimidated by anything. The Holy Spirit is not afraid of what you and I are terrified of. And there are moments when he says, let's run into the battle. And you're saying, let's go the other direction. And he's saying, nah, we can win. And when you're friends with God, it means he gets to boss you around. It doesn't mean that you get to boss him around. I've tried that. Haven't you? Hey, God, we're like this. Here's the plan for today. Take notes. He doesn't operate like that. When all is said and done, he will tell us what to do. And we can get our orders from him. And I'm just believing something that you can catch your breath right now. We're in Shabbat. We're in between rounds. Catch your breath. Shake off the pain. Rally yourself. You've come to one of God's sanctuaries in the earth, and it's one of his tents of meeting. Let God get a hold of you right now. If you've got some fear, let God get a hold of that. Don't hold on to it. Just say, Lord, here's my best offering, fear. You want it? You can have it. He'll take it. Invite his courage to come into you right now. Can you do that? Can you say, Lord, send your courage into me. Fill me up with your courage. Let me become strong in you. I've got more to do. Do you need boldness? Invite the Spirit of God who is bold. Invite him in. Holy Spirit, come on. Come in and fill me up with your boldness. Not with my boldness, but your boldness. That I could get up and do all those things that you've called me to do. Spirit of God, come and fill your people. Have you ever heard of someone with a trust account? Someone whose father, grandfather, great-great-grandfather had so much money, it got passed on to generations. Well, you need to understand, Abraham did real well. I'm not talking about financially, though. Isaac did real well. I'm not talking about finances here. Jacob did real well. I'm not talking about money. They accumulated spiritual wealth that you and I are still drawing on. Do you understand what it means to be part of Israel? It means that the inheritance that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob accumulated for their families is your inheritance, is our inheritance. You are not broke. You are not bankrupt in terms of spiritual wealth. You have been offered incredible wealth that you did not accumulate, that you didn't even have to work for. Paul said it this way, for the sake of the patriarchs, God will save all of Israel. Spiritual riches have been made available to you. Maybe you've been looking in the wrong bank account. You know, some people have different bank accounts. And they look at one, they go, nothing there. Look at another one, not much there. And then look at the last one, nothing there either. And then they put in what's called the millennium, what Jews call the age to come. Yeah, you understand something. There's 1,000 years in that you got to get through that are good years with Messiah. But there are 1,000 years. And so there's a long time to prepare for. There are generations ahead. And you need to open your eyes and see that it's not only about you, it's about the generations you're going to pass an inheritance on to. And their generations that they're going to pass an inheritance on to. And you're going to go before some of them. And you got to leave something behind of worth. Your sons and daughters of Abraham, you've been given life by your God and your Savior. Let God's life come into you now. Welcome Him. Drink of Him. Taste of Him. Thank Him. There is a special blessing that we make when God has rescued us. It's called Birkat HaGomel. I'm going to introduce it to you. Here are like some basic instructions. When you return safely from dangerous travel. For some of you, that means your husband was driving. For others, it can be more serious. When you've recovered from an illness, here's a third condition. When you've been released from prison. Do you know Jewish people use the same prayer when you get out of jail? Or upon deliverance from an earthquake or another natural disaster. This is what you say. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, hagomel l'chayavim tovot. Shegmalani kol tov. What does this mean? Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who bestows good to sinners. Even as He has bestowed to me every good. This is a blessing to God when He does good to you that you don't deserve. It's a special blessing. Traditionally, you say it in front of at least 10 people. And you expect them to respond. And give thanks as well. And to join you in giving thanks. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, hagomel l'chayavim tovot. Shegmalani kol tov. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bestows good to sinners like me, even as He has bestowed to me every good thing. When God's delivered you, when He's rescued you, you know what you do? You rise up. And you say, thank you, Lord, because I didn't deserve the rescue. When you survive one more day of battle and you're still alive, you say, thank you, God. I am still alive to fight for another day. I'm still alive for another victory. Courage. Courage. I like what Rabbi Hertz of England, the chief rabbi of England, said in commenting on last week's Haftorah from Vayikra. He said, Israel's weariness of God is only a passing phase in its history. Even as trees and plants withered by drought are restored and refreshed by rain, so will the divine spirit revive the parched soul of Israel. And awaken His children to the glory of belonging to Israel. And with that, He introduces the words to Israel, do not be afraid. Listen to these words. This is from the Haftorah from last week. Listen to me now, Jacob, my servant, and Israel whom I've chosen. Thus says the Lord who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. These are the words. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Yeshurun, whom I have chosen, because I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. They will spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourses. One will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call himself by the name of Yaakov. Another will write with his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. And who can proclaim as I do? Then let him declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, and let them show these to them. Do not fear nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. Fear not. Fear not. When Goliath rises up, look for rocks. When you're in the middle of the battle and you're not winning, don't just run away. Run to get the strategy so that you can get back in and win. I will never forget the day in 1983 when my mother, my father and I were meeting at their house. We were having a business meeting. And my mother just fell out of her chair onto the floor. And it turned out that she had had a subarachnoid brain hemorrhage. And a small amount of blood inside her brain was leaking. And before my eyes, I saw her dying. And there was a moment when the Spirit of God came to me and said, so what are you going to do? And it was like the Lord said, and what do you believe? I began to pray in the Spirit. And I remember by that moment, somehow Sandy got there. You know, it took a little while for this thing to develop. And we saw my mother before our eyes be overtaken by death. I don't know if you've ever been present when someone has died. I have. And we saw death come upon her. And I thought, well, what do you do? And I felt like the Lord said, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What do you believe? And I remember just saying, well, I rebuke death with a strong voice. And you know what? Instantly, it left. And she came back. It's not the first time that we've seen someone who was dead come back. Some of you have had this experience too. But I tell you something, God will put you in situations and then ask you, and what do you believe? And he's not asking you about theology or about doctrine or what you're going to teach a class about. He just wants to know, are you prepared for what life has thrown you? And do you know that God is able to help you at such moments? You learn in the middle of the battle. That's where you get strong. You can stare at weights all day. It will not make you stronger. You can even read about them and study them, and it won't help you lift anything. The way to get stronger is just to lift more and more. The way to get stronger in life is just to face the difficulties of life with courage and rise up and rise up. Listen, don't fall by the wayside. The great danger that you might face is that you'd feel like you're the only one going through anything difficult and nobody understands. But you saw from earlier tonight A lot of people are going through difficult things. A lot of people understand. They may not have the extra strength to bring you comfort, just like you don't have the extra strength to bring them comfort. It doesn't mean God cannot comfort you. But I tell you what, when I'm in a battle, in a spiritual battle, primarily I'm not looking for comfort. Primarily I'm looking to win. I don't want God to put his arms around me after I've been beaten up and say, I just love you so much. Do you? I want to get in there and win, whatever winning means. And I'm not talking about how to have battle against people. It's nothing about people. I'm only talking about spiritual things here. You hear what I'm saying? It's about spiritual things. Well, tonight is the day, the night when we celebrate Seudat HaMashiach, the meal of Messiah. And so I want you to search your hearts and prepare. There's one specific challenge I want to give to you because I've walked through it. Yesterday I really tried my wife. I exasperated her. That's not why she's not here tonight. She's fine. But just in case you're wondering. But I had put off doing something that was very difficult for me to do, and finally I got around to doing it, but it was late, and my timing was all off. It put her under a lot of stress, and we were like at each other, not physically, but emotionally, with words and our attitudes. And it was only around midnight that we had the breakthrough. But we had the breakthrough. And I realized something, that there's a real recipe for disaster. Here's the recipe. Number one, you need one person who does something wrong, and you need another person who's offended by it. Dr. Kevin has been giving us messages on offense, and you can listen to those if you need reminders or you need help about what to do in detail. But I can tell you that as someone who did something wrong and provoked offense, that it's a recipe for disaster. And what's the cure for this problem? It has two parts. Number one is the hardest thing for a Jewish person to say, I was wrong. It's not that non-Jews don't have difficulty saying this. It's just we've been pushed around and shoved around so much and blamed for things we didn't do that by the time we have to face what we did do, it's hard. And the other thing is for the offended person to put off their offense. And either one of those things will produce a victory for the other. It doesn't take both people. It just takes one side. The party that's wrong and the party that's offended. Either one has enough power to change the situation. And so I just want to challenge you with this. There are some conflicts you're in right now that are sapping your strength. And you are either the person who did wrong, and that may be hard to admit, or the person who is offended. Now, I'm not talking tonight about all the people who did something that wasn't wrong and the person's offended with you. That's a whole other class. I'm talking about those of us who did something wrong and someone has a real reason to be mad at us, to be offended. And I just want to challenge us to admit our mistakes, even our intentional sins. Can you do that? First to yourself, then to your God, and then to your fellow who you wronged. And then, if you're one of the offendees, understand this. Everybody does things that are wrong. Everybody does some things that are good. And if you will be offended by everything that's done that's wrong, you will have no time in life for joy. And your life will be a disaster. And so at some point, you got to offer a sacrifice of your offense and put it to rest. And one of the ways you do that is you say, I'm not going to sleep while I'm offended with people, especially husbands and wives and parents and children, especially. And you don't let the sun go down on that kind of sinful anger that offense is. Okay. Tomorrow we'll talk about the parsha for this week. Tzav, which means command. And in this parsha, we discover something that's absolutely amazing. We'll talk about it tomorrow. It talks about HaKohen HaMashiach, the priest, the Messiah. It's very interesting, very powerful, hidden proclamation in the scriptures. You know what? I'm feeling like you need to serve yourself. Because some of us need to do such business that we don't really need someone else's help. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to put these trays here. And you can come up, take a piece of matzah yourself. You're just like this. I think we're good. Just come up when you're ready. Take a cup, take a piece of matzah, return to your seat. You can come by rows if you want. Listen, when I was in the middle of creating problems for my wife yesterday, I understood I'd be standing here tonight. And I have a policy not to put on pretenses. And so I said, oh God, you've got to help me through this. And he did. And we have a good history of working through things. But we do have to work through things, and so do you. But I said, Lord, you know, if I don't work through this, I can't lead this. He said, I know. It's our custom to drink and eat together. So wait until everyone has a chance. On the podcast, the silence during Seudat HaMashiach always sounds long, longer than we experience it. But it's a good time for those who listen by podcast to really search themselves, and if they also participate in the New Covenant, to take some matzah and take some fruit of the vine. Make themselves ready. This is a night for receiving God's courage, for putting off fear. Tonight for looking at life with God's perspective. We're continuing this Daniel's fast that ends on the first, right before Pesach. And one of our goals for a congregation is that we would receive the land and the space and the places that God wants to give us for our future. Perhaps our future for a synagogue, our future for other kinds of facilities as well. It may take time for all of that to materialize, but we'll continue to move forward in prayer. We can take two lines so that we can finish this up. And another purpose is that we would get victory in areas of our lives that resist God's victory. And a third purpose is that what God wants to do on behalf of those who we love and care about would be accomplished for them. It's not just for us. So your courage to face life, your courage to say you were wrong, your courage to be reconciled and to be made in right relationship with those who you're close to, your courage that overflows, that allows you to strengthen somebody else in times of difficulty, that courage comes from God. And He will use you. Lord, we come to You knowing that You're the source of all of our boldness. And that when many came against us, we would have been defeated if You had not strengthened us. We thank You that You give life to the dead. And we thank You that You are the author of life and You are the one who brings completion to it. Many of our loved ones, Lord, are facing sickness, disease, injury, and death. And we look to You, Lord. We look to You. Our eyes are on You. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on You. Use us, Lord, to show love to those we love in the times of their distress. Lord, thank You that You forgive us our sins and You heal us of our diseases. Thank You that You lift up the falling. Somech noflim rofe cholim, and You heal those who are sick. And You keep faith with all those who are in the dust. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for resurrection life, which You purchased for us. Lift up your matzah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz, b'shem Yeshua Mashiachinu. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam b'rei pri hagafen. Amen. You can pass your cups into the center. This Wednesday night, we will have prayer. I think we'll meet either in the Oneg room or the small room. I'm not sure where. We'll figure that out. Look around. You'll find somebody. And then next Wednesday, the following Wednesday, the 11th, we'll again have prayer. We're going to increase the frequency and the different kinds of prayer that we do as a group. If you can't make one, come to another. I'll be celebrating Pesach with a church group on Wednesday night. So I won't be here, but I will be here the following week on that Wednesday. So I encourage you to come for both if you can. And join us. Let's stand for Aaron's blessing. And then those of you that want to stay for prayer for your loved ones, we'll pray for them by name. Just come on up here afterwards. If you need to talk to me about something, that would not be the time to come. This is a time for prayer, okay? So if there's time remaining long after that, then you can talk to me about stuff that we need to talk about. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you with His courage. And the Lord be gracious to you. the Lord lift up his face to you and shine his light upon you and pour out his favor as he protects you in the day of battle. The Lord lift up his face in recognition of you and give you his shalom. In the name of Yeshua, amen. 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 Shabbat shalom.